get back to talking about baseball, that's what I enjoy doing the most on The Fan, because I know New York City cares about both baseball teams, and we can always force the baseball conversation. And opening day is 2 weeks away. We don't have to force it, man. It is time right now to start looking at the schedule, knowing who we're facing, knowing what pitchers we're facing, knowing who we're rolling out there, and starting to think about what games we're going to and how we're going to do. Nobody knows, but that's part of it. That's the fun of it. Keith McPherson on The Fan. Let's tap back into it. So, I mean, I was talking this week about J.D. Davis versus J.D. Martinez. Nothing has changed on that front. But I also last night was talking about the luxury tax and the second round pick and the fifth round pick and what it means. And something that came out of the article I read about J.D. Davis was that Steve Cohen said, yeah, whatever, to hell with the luxury tax. Like, we're interested in J.D. Davis. And J.D. Davis was interested as well. And that also falls in line with conversations around these players these days and everybody thinking that players are just going to take the most money. J.D. Davis got an offer from the San Francisco Giants. He said, no, thank you. Doesn't want to be there. But this late in his career, coming from a Dodgers team that won 111 games and fell flat on their face against a division rival in the postseason, he wants to still compete and win and get to October. He's a World Series champion. And I think he feels like out of his three options, the Mets, the Angels, and the Marlins, he'll have the best chance to do that in Queens with this Mets lineup. Let's continue to talk Mets with Anthony in Bridgewater, New Jersey. What's up, Ant? You're on The Fan.
What's up, Keith? Thanks for taking my call, man.
No doubt.
Yeah, you kind of stole my thunder a little bit talking about the Mets. I mean, this has been really just kind of anticlimactic off season so far, and it's amazing the guys that are still available with 2 weeks till the season starts. You know, I think the Mets, not only do they deserve, the front office owes the fans, but they also owe the Lindors, the Nimmos, the Alonzos. If they're not going to go for pitching, which I kind of given up on, that they're not going to get Snell or Montgomery, when you got J.D. Martinez out there, you give him a couple of years and you take a shot at him. I mean, if you look at his numbers last year, I mean, unless I'm missing something, and I guess everyone's missing something, I mean, how can he not help the lineup? I mean, they've not had, first off, the Mets have not had a DH since the DH started. He's not going to get many years, so it's not going to be like something where it's going to be like an overload for like the contract for many years. I mean, what's he going to get? 2 years, $15 million a year, something like that?
Yeah,
maybe. This has to be done.
Maybe even a one-year deal. I don't know the specifics of the Giants deal that he turned down, but he had a one-year deal with the Dodgers. And like I said, in the article that I read, it says Mets owner Steve Cohen has apparently given the go-ahead to seriously discuss Martinez, even though the Mets are over the fourth tier so-called Steve Cohen tax. Like, so who's stopping it? Stearns? Does Stearns really want to see Mark Vientos? Shout out to Mark Vientos for hitting a bomb last night and pimping that and bat flipping. But like, if we're talking Mark Vientos as your DH versus J.D. Martinez, it's J.D. Martinez 10 times out of 10. And for the life of me, I can't understand why the Mets, having the universal DH in the National League, they haven't figured it out in the last 4 years.
Yeah, it just makes no sense to me. I mean, they have not had one DH since the DH started. And I think that's a big roster spot to not fill since the DH has started. And to me, you got one right now that's not going to get a lot of years. He had a good year last year. And I guess if you're going to go with J.D. Davis again, too, that could be an option, too. Like, to me, it's like we've been there, done that.
Yeah, why go backwards, right? Michael Conforto last year, they were like, oh, maybe Michael Conforto goes back. No, let bygones be bygones and move on. J.D. Martinez is a guy that's going to bop. And you need protection for Pete Alonso. And you know what you're going to get from him. I just think, like, I don't know what's taking so long. Is it Stern saying, not really worth it to pay 110% on J.D. Martinez? I know the fans would love it. I keep going back to Aaron Rodgers. I keep going back to Evan Roberts and the day that he opened saying, I just need a stick. I just need a bat. I just need a hitter. Just get us a hitter. Just get us a professional hitter. And J.D. Martinez is sitting out there with mutual interest.
Yeah, and to me, it's like a no-brainer. You know, with just real quick before we get off, what do you see the Mets this year? I mean, I if all things go right and the pitching is not terrible, you seen them going for that second wild card, or you think this is going to be an absolute failure?
Yeah, No, I got it. Thanks for the call, and we will go back to an Aaron Rodgers call, and then I've got three Yankee calls. So if you're on hold, stay on hold. We're going to get to you. I have been on record, and I will say this again and again and again, and I know there are a ton of Mets fans that helicopter in and don't stay up and listen to my show at night, but they see my persona online, and, you know, I put a lot of LGYM, Let's Go Yankee Mets, and some troll stuff out there, and it's fun, because it's fake. It's not real. But this is my real voice, and here are my real thoughts. I'm going to say it again, and I know somebody listening can probably guess what I'm about to say, because I've been saying it for weeks now. There are three buckets of Mets on this Mets team. There are the paid Mets that are your core, that have their contracts, that have been doing this for years. They're veterans. The Brandon Nimmos, the Jeff McNeils, the Francisco Lindors, and you can even throw Pete Alonso into that mix, even though he doesn't have his deal. He should. But, like, you know what you're going to get out of those guys. You know what to expect from those guys. Add Edwin Diaz to that mix. Then there's another tier under those guys that are on this team of guys that are major league caliber players that have to prove it. Guys that are here because maybe they didn't do it somewhere else, and maybe this is their last leg, last real chance, from Luis Severino, who's looked really good. Harrison Bader, who arguably could be the best defensive center fielder in baseball. DJ Stewart, who's a little bit of a journeyman, but we know what he can do. And you've seen some other guys in camp, from Luke Voit, G-Man Choi. I know they're not going to be breaking camp with the team. Trace Thompson. There's other guys mixed in that are in that second tier of pro ball players. They've been in the show. You've seen them wear other jerseys, and they could help the Mets. Joey Wendell, perhaps. And then the last tier is the baby Mets, the young guys, the Francisco Alvarezes, who, if I got to say this 1,000 times, that's your guy. That's the guy that looks like the young ball players. That's the guy that fits the profile of the young superstar in baseball right now. Brett Beatty, Mark Vientos. Let's see what these guys got. Maybe Ronnie Mauricio rehab super fast and can come back at the end of the year. When you put those three buckets of players together, they're not going to go out there to lose. They're not going to go out there and lay down. The bullpen has improved. Shintaro Fujinami. I can't wait to see what that guy looks like with Edwin Diaz. What I've said about the Mets is I think they can be an 80 to 90 win team. I think they may finish a little bit better than where the Yankees finished last year. And if so, that could get them in the wild card. We know they have a tough division with the Braves and the Phillies, but who says they stay healthy? Who says they get off to a hot start? Maybe the Mets get off to a hot start. And the last thing I said is 2 years ago, I called them the make it happen Mets. Losers let it happen. Winners make it happen. Last year, they were losers. They let it happen to them. Every single thing. Whether it was losing every series in June, letting people throw at Pete Alonso to the point where he gets injured wearing a pitch, to, oh, Edwin Diaz got hurt, season's over, let's just let it happen to us, we don't have a chance, we don't have a shot, Scherzer, Verlander, oh, Max Scherzer, sticky stuff, they just let everything happen to him and they folded. That's last year. That's done. Move into the future. Okay, now back to the Aaron Rodgers calls. I feel like we're getting rid of them, but hey, I'll take them. I don't mind. Let's go all the way out to Las Vegas and talk to Joe on the Fan in New York.
Hey, Keith, Joe from Las Vegas. Honestly, I just started listening to the Fan about 3 weeks ago, and your show is by far my favorite.
Thank
you. I listen every single night. I keep it on. I don't really want to talk about Aaron Rodgers, but I figured since that was a topic, I would, give you my...
Nobody really wants to talk about him not being able to play football, but we have to.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because he's an attention seeker. And it's funny because he hates on Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce is five times more of a star than Aaron Rodgers. So is Mahomes. So is Chris Jones.
Two more Super Bowl rings.
Yes. And he's Travis Kelce's dating the biggest star in the whole entire world.
Right. And Aaron Rodgers has dated the Danica Patricks and whatever that actress name is. I don't even know her name, but I know she was slightly popular.
Yeah, he just
Charlene Woodley. Connor Gangrene knows. My producer.
Yes,
knew.
Yes. Yes. And he just kind of comes up as sad. Like, he doesn't, like, I mean, I hate to say it like that, but, like, truthfully, it's like,
it is sad. Don't you have enough? You're one of the highest paid NFL players in history. You are the best player from one of the 32 NFL franchises. You did it, Aaron. You were the number 22 overall pick, right? You usurped Alex Smith right away. You mm-hmm. proved everyone wrong. What are you still out to prove?
And look at Jordan Love.
Uh-oh.
Jordan Love is elite.
Uh-oh. Looks like the Packers made the right decision drafting him where they did. And then moving on from you when they did, and there's a new sheriff in your town, and they're slowly forgetting about you over there. and you got to make it about everything else over here so that you keep your name in the headlines. Yeah, we got it.
Yeah, no, 100%. And definitely, I'll call back another day. I'm a Yankees, Knicks, Rangers, and Giants fan, so I kind of wanted to touch on that more, but I get heated when I hear this Aaron Rodgers stuff because I was listening to Evan yesterday, and I had to shut it off. It was getting too much for me with the RFK stuff. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Well,
I'm like, Tiki, take his microphone away.
Evan is a presidential political nerd, and then when that meets at the intersection of his quarterback, it's like, oh, here we go. Thanks for the call, Joe. That's cool. Out in Vegas, I mean, you got the time difference, so KM to AM isn't starting at 7 o'clock. It's starting at 4 p.m. You don't have to stay up late at all, but also, everything I say is recorded. All of this goes to podcasts. You can search Keith McPherson wherever you get your podcast, and you can go to sleep at 10 o'clock and hear the rest of the show tomorrow. Also, the Odyssey app is free, and you have the ability to go back in there and listen to podcasts in there. So I always say, there's not one human being I'd stay up to listen to. Big Mac kind of catches me at night because I'm just up anyway, either restless or watching my baby on the baby cam or just did a five-hour show where I can't come down, so I'm listening to Big Mac show usually to like 3, 4 in the morning, and then I pass out. But yeah, I don't expect anyone to stay up and listen to me, but I appreciate everyone, wherever you are, that taps in and enjoys my show. Let's keep it going now. I said we have Yankees calls. My favorite thing to talk about, and I see people online like, well, this guy sucks. He only cares about talking about the Yankees. I'm like, clearly you don't listen. Let's go to Mike in Palm Coast, Florida on the fan. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how you doing, Keith?
Great.
Yeah, I also enjoy listening to your show. I spent a lot of time listening to the fan. I'm like a homebound guy. I've been listening to the fan since his inception. I lived in New York 50 years, and now I'm in Florida for 8 years. But I like your show. On Cole situation, I think, everybody's going too crazy about the loss of Cole. Of course, he's a great pitcher. He's your ace and so on and so forth. But in reality, he gets 32 starts a year. That's it. And realistically, 22-10 could be the Yankees' record in those 32 starts. So 12 games over 500. Mm-hmm. If you were to incorporate Luis Gil, Clayton Beter, and another one of their Will Warren, whatever those guys, to make those 32 starts. Even if the Yankees were 15 or so in those starts, you're basically talking about 6-7 games difference on the total season.
I'm just going to put you on hold for a second, Mike. I'm not dropping you. If you're on speakerphone, take yourself off speakerphone. I'll respond to what you just said. I mean, Gerrit Cole is the most reliable pitcher in baseball. Gerrit Cole is a guy that takes the ball every 5 days. He's durable. He's thrown more innings and more pitches than anybody else. He's worth that $36 million plus some. But the worry right now, and I was talking this about Evan and Tiki on their way out, right? And I even said, yeah, actually, you know, I don't want Luis Severino after how he went out, but like it would help to have Luis Severino because we're replacing his innings. We're replacing Domingo Herman's innings, Randy Vasquez, Johnny Brito, Michael King, and now we have to replace Gerrit Cole's innings? You mean to tell me that the Yankees this year is currently constructed can replace 600-some innings from last year? They're going to attempt to. I think they're going to try. I don't know how well they can. It's going to be different this year. You're going to rely on scoring runs. And these guys actually turning back into the Bronx Bombers. Let's see how it goes. Let me bring Mike back in. Mike, are you good? Are you on speaker? Or are you off?
I'm good. I'm disabled, and it's hard for me to hold the phone.
Yeah, no, it's okay. We could to Connor and I both. We could tell. I didn't want to say it at first, but we can hear you better now that you're not on speaker.
I appreciate you not cutting me off. Most other guys will, but yeah, that is what you said is 100% correct. Obviously, the other four guys in the rotation need to do their job too. And but I think they have enough quality to at least come close to what Cole would have produced. And then we'll see as the year goes along. You get to the deadline. If you're not producing, then you go and get a guy maybe that can give you that boost into the playoffs. But I don't think it's that much of a, you know,
Time. It is not. Right. It is not panic time. Thanks for the call, Mike. I'll take it from here. I was talking about this last night, but I understand people aren't hearing you necessarily at 1 a.m., and I don't mind saying it again. People listen to the radio for 5-10 minutes in and out, so this is going to be new to maybe a few thousand people. It's tough to feel confident about the guys that you're expecting to replace, let's say, 600 innings from last year because they missed half the season last year. Carlos Rodon missed half the season, and he wasn't good when he was in. How much faith can I have in him? I can't. Marcus Stroman was an all-star first half of the year. Then he got hurt and missed time. I have some faith in him, but man, I feel like there's going to be a ton of pressure on him. And the thing that I worry about with him is, I said this the other night, man, delete Instagram. He took shots at Tiki Barber on Instagram. I'm like, what the? Come on. I'm like, bro, get off social media. I get it that you're off Twitter. He unblocked me on Twitter. Thanks, I guess. But like, one platform to another, you went on your Instagram to say that, you know, people wouldn't hear from you, your family and friends, you were going dark or whatever. Delete Instagram too and lock in. We don't need to hear from you on your Instagram story. It's just not good. Please lock in, because when you struggle, people are going to be adding you on Instagram and you're going to feel some type of way and speak on it, and we just don't need it. And then lastly, Nestor Cortez, Nestor is a dog. Nestor is my dog. When I text Nestor back in February to see if he was coming to the Pinstripe Pride event, he said no. He said he was staying down there in Florida. He was, you know, working and rehabbing. And then I read an article about how he was flying from Hialeah to Tampa all winter to get his work for a few days, let's say Monday through Thursday, and then going back over the weekend. I'm like, go, Nestor, go. And Nestor will probably be our opening day starter in 2 weeks. But do I know if he's going to be able to hold up for half a season, for the whole season? I don't know. He was hurt last year, and also, Nestor does not go deep in games. So you lose Garrett Cole, and also now the bullpen is affected. This bullpen right now is not what it was. Ron Marinaccio right now, we used him a lot in the last couple years. I don't know about, bro, the pride of Toms River North. Like, I don't know. We're missing some pieces. Wandy went to San Diego. Tommy Kahnle was terrible last year. So there is a lot up in the air. And here's another bar from Big Mac. I took this from Big Mac show. Big Mac was talking about how you can't rely on the trade deadline anymore. And I was telling you guys last night before Big Mac went on, yeah, we'll probably default into trading for another Frankie Montas type. You can't rely on the trade deadline anymore. Corbin Burns was a target of the Yankees. What happened to him? Dylan Cease was a target of the Yankees. What happened to him? That's why we were both begging last night to use your superpower, which is money. You're worth $7.1 billion. Eat the luxury tax. It is what it is. Go buy a Blake Snell. You already offered him. Talk to Jordan Montgomery. Apologize and bring him in. It's just money. You don't have to give up prospects, and you also don't have to wait till pencils down on July 30th, where other teams have more to give than you have to give. Because you've smoked all your prospects in the last couple years trying to compete, trading for Andrew Benintendi, Frankie Montas, Lou Trevino, Scott Efros. You know what I'm saying? 877-337-6666. Yankee fans, call me up. Let's break it down, and we'll be right back. Five-hour KM to AM, halfway done. Keith McPherson on the Fan. We've talked about a lot tonight. We had to talk about Aaron Rodgers because Aaron Rodgers is the song that never ends. It just goes on and on, my friends. Some Jets fans started singing it not knowing what it was, and they'll keep on singing it forever just because. So, whatever. We'll do the dance. Obviously, it's almost opening day, 2 weeks away, so we're talking about the rotations for the Mets and Yankees. Both aces are down. What's going to happen? Nobody knows, but that's why we watch. That's why we go to the ballparks. That's why we have WFAN 24/7 with different hosts and thoughts and takes to react, and it makes it even more fun. And there's a bunch of other guys that wear those jerseys and hats, and they're going to step up and they're going to play, and we'll see what this season is going to be. None of us know, because none of us can predict baseball. That's baseball, Susan. Can't wait to go see John and Susan next week. And shout out to Shaq and E-Man, Justin Shackle and Emmanuel Babari. Andrew Marchand said that they're getting 25 games each. They're going to call 25 Yankee games each. The future's in good hands. Those are young guys that are now getting the chance to call the New York Yankee games. I mean, that's a job that so many guys have wanted over the years, and good for them. I'm friends with both of those guys. I like both of those guys. Really good guys. Really two good dudes that work hard and treat people right. And they got what they deserve getting that chance. 877-337-6666. 66-66. If you got the chance to play for the New York Yankees, which is a lifetime dream, if you got the chance to take the ball on opening day, would you take it? Would you capture it? Or would you just let it slip away? Nestor's probably down. Let's go to John in Masbeth. What you got to know about John is the guy that set up Fire Cashman night a little too late, but he kind of did pull it off.
You know, it was too late, but the idea was there like early on. But you know, I wanted time for it.
Let's see how the season goes, John. You might have to fire one up in June and not September.
No, so far Cashman's got really passing graded off season, but you know, one guy who I lost some respect for today is Stroman. You know, this guy coming out here saying, you know, he doesn't want to pitch the first game of the season because of his schedule. You know, I'm calling bull. We're 2 weeks away from opening day. He wants to pitch opening day in the Bronx. He feels like he's got something to prove to the Bronx fans at Yankee Stadium. He wants that day to himself. And you know what? It's kind of selfish in a way. He's getting paid $18.5 million a year to play baseball. If your team needs you, if your GM and manager are asking you to step up and pitch that first game of the season because your Cy Young winning ace is down, you got to step up. Your team needs you. You got to step up when they need you. I don't want to hear about this schedule crap because when it comes playoff time, guess what? You might be pitching on 2 days rest or 3 days rest, you know?
Yeah,
if he wants to go out there and prove his statement, go out there on Houston Astros opening day, give us 6 solid innings and get that W, you know?
Yeah, he might be a little shook, you know. He might be a halfway crook, you know.
You go out there, and you step up, you know. You don't shy away from the opening day and
I think
that there's a BS story because deep down inside we all know that you want to have the opening day in the Bronx to yourself. Nah.
That's what it is.
No, I don't buy that. You got to step up. $18.5 million. You got to do what the damn team needs you to do.
Thanks for the call, John. I think it's twofold. And I made the Mob Deep Shook Ones reference because, man, I love when that goes off in Yankee Stadium. I love when that song plays because it just, like, makes you know what time it is. Hey, we're about to ball. And with Marcus Stroman being a Long Island guy and a guy that talks so much about being a Yankee, and I mentioned earlier about him wearing vintage Yankees gear in practice, not team-issued gear, like, he's flexing his, like, 1998 championship shirts and championship hats. And then they ask you, hey, you know, you're a veteran in this league. You were an all-star last year. You ready to take the ball? He's like, no. You know why? Because it's twofold. One, might be the plan, right? He was hurt last year, and he wants to stick to his plan. But I also think he wants to be the opening day starter in New York, in the Bronx. He's probably had visions of that. And like I said, when he first signed and figured out, oh, I'm going to be the number three, I'm going to get to start opening day at Yankee Stadium. Well, now you're not the number three. Cole is hurt. We need you to step up. Oh, no. My plan, my schedule. You can't just change my schedule. I mean, it's the first little chink in the armor. It's the first little thing that you see. And you're like, hey, hopefully this guy's all about the team. Hopefully this guy's all about being a Yankee. There's no names on the back of the jersey. We know everywhere else you played, it said your name on the back, but I mean, I don't want to be too critical of the guy before we get there because I know there's going to be critics on that guy if he struggles. 877-337-6666. See, that's the thing about being a Yankee, Marcus. That Bronx cheer, nobody is immune. Nobody's above it. So please delete your Instagram. Please get off of social media entirely because you already have built-in haters in this fan base. You already have some people that didn't like you when you were across town, didn't like you when you were in our division playing for Toronto, didn't like you when you tweeted some things out on Twitter about the team and about the rotation and where the rotation would be in X amount of years. And look at how the universe never unconnects. You're in that rotation in the years where you said that that nobody would be better than you in that rotation, not thinking Gerrit Cole would be in that rotation. And now Gerrit Cole is out of that rotation. Well, the plot thickens. What a movie we're about to watch, and I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm a Yankee fan. I'll be there at opening day. I'll probably be there that Saturday. I'm trying to hit 40 games this year like I have in the past before I had a baby, and I root for the laundry. So I'm rooting for you, Marcus Stroman, but there's some fans, like I said, that are already built-in haters, and they're mad at you for saying, no, I'm sticking to my plan. We're too close. It's 2 weeks away. I understand it. I understand it. It just doesn't line up with your energy of being a Yankee boy. It doesn't line up with your energy of, like, living your dream and, you know, flashing your Yankees merch and all this other stuff. It's like, if the Yankees ask you to take the ball, take the ball. That's your job, right? Like John just said, you get paid $18 million, and now it's like, wait, no. My schedule. Me. No. There's no I in team, but there's definitely an M and an E. Let's go to Matt in Middle Village on the Fan. Go for it, Matt.
Keith, what's going on? How are you, man?
Good, hanging out, talking the talk.
Cool. Listen, I've been listening to the Fan for a while now. I think, you know, you're up there at Boomer and Geo. You're one of my two favorite shows to listen to. I just wanted to give you a shout out for that real quick.
Yeah, quite the contrast, but, you know, I'll take it. I appreciate it. I never get to listen to Boomer and Geo in the morning, and the clips and the things I hear, like, they're talking about, like, patting your wee-wee, and I'm like, how do we even get to this? Wait, what?
Yeah, that was... What? Yeah, this morning was quite a crazy listen, man. All right, I just wanted to get your thoughts on Giancarlo Stanton. I saw a picture of him and Aaron Judge standing next to each other. Looks like Stanton's dropped some weight. I think I saw something where he dropped like 30 pounds this offseason. He looks lighter. Hopefully he's a little bit more athletic this year, you know, running around those bases, and he doesn't, you know, just look like he's walking down the third baseline. But, you know, his health, I think, is pretty important to the Yankees. I just want to, you know, get your thoughts on how you think his bat, potentially even him in the field, is going to help the Yankees, you know, in this time where they don't have, you know, Gerrit Cole as their pitcher and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I'll take it from here, Matt. I can talk about this for the rest of the show. Oh, boy. I always go back to going down to Miami when Giancarlo Stanton was chasing 60 home runs. I forget what hurricane hit Puerto Rico. I was supposed to go to Puerto Rico, and we couldn't do that. And so we pivoted to go to Miami. And the reason we pivoted to Miami, because I was like, hey, we can go to Marlins Park. We can sit behind home plate for like $20, and maybe we see history. So I went down there with my wife, and we went to watch Giancarlo Stanton, and I wore my Derek Jeter jersey. Jeter was part owner and, you know, in the front office for the team back then. And the Yankees had their 2017 season where the cheating Astros beat them in Game 7. You guys remember. But, you know, I remember just being a fan of Giancarlo Stanton because he was a monster. He was a beast. He played right field. He hit almost 60 home runs. He came up short that weekend. You could tell the pressure was getting to him. And if somebody would have just passed me a note to be like, hey, this guy's going to be a Yankee, I would have been like, how? What? Fast forward, he comes over to the Evil Empire, and it's like, that was an Evil Empire move. Oh, the Yankees are back. Fool me. Can't fool me again. So they get Giancarlo Stanton, the National League MVP, and it was a redundant move. And in hindsight, as we look at it, it was a move that they made via trade because they did not want to go all in and pay the money, the $330 million it would have taken to get a Manny Machado. Or a Bryce Harper, who they didn't even call. They made the move to get Giancarlo Stanton, who was a big bopper, a tall guy playing right field, and you already had a big bopper, a tall guy playing right field. It was a redundant move. You had Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge was the rookie of the year, should have won MVP, but Altuve cheated. And so now, fast forward all of this time, we're in year 7 of Giancarlo Stanton with the Yankees. Isn't that nuts to think about? Like, his 7th season in New York is upon us. And I mean, that first year, it was tough. Yankees fans boo him. I give him a ton of credit for handling it the right way. But like, so what? He knows that. He said himself, it's, you know, like, handling it the right way. That's not what I'm here for. I'm here to perform. That contract is a burden. That contract is an albatross. And I mean, the Marlins in that group, they made that contract and they got out of baseball. That was a bad one. And Giancarlo Stanton this year, I am rooting for the guy. I'm rooting hard for the guy, but I have no expectations for the guy. And you just said, Matt, you just said, like, even him playing the field. No, I don't want him playing the field. And it sucks, right? I just talked about he was a National League MVP in right field. He should have kept being an outfielder, but the Yankees got crafty and said, yeah, we're just going to make him a DH early in his time here. when he was younger. Now, how old is Stanton now? 34? Giancarlo Stanton is getting up there in age. They're all getting up there in age. Yeah, he's 34. Year 7 here. And Cashman called him out, said, you know, seems like getting hurt is part of his game. And he didn't even mean to call him out, but he let you inside of the Yankees' thought process. Finally, they realize after 6 seasons, we can't depend on this guy making $32 million a year. We can't depend on this guy that used to be an MVP All-Star, even though he was the MVP of the All-Star game in 2022. He's going to have a soft tissue injury. So why don't you prepare for that? And they finally did. And now they have multiple outfielders. And when Jason Dominguez comes back, Juan Soto is there. There's going to be a logjam. When you have Verdugo in left, when you have Judge slash Grisham in center, then you move Judge to right field, and then Dominguez comes back to play center, then Trent Grisham can be a bench piece defensive replacement. Where are you going to put Soto? At the DH spot. Where are you going to put Stan? On the bench. Wow. A $32 million bench? Like, that's crazy. That's nuts to think about. We're heading there. I'm rooting for you, Stan. Like, I was rooting for you when you were a Miami Marlin. Literally went down there to see you, and I've rooted for you. I've never booed you in Yankee Stadium. But we need production. Can I get 25 homers out of you this year? Can you stay healthy the whole year? Can you have a chip on your shoulder to prove everyone wrong and shut everyone up? We need you. Cole is down. We need you. ESPN Bet is now live in New Jersey as the official sports book of ESPN. ESPN Bet is the only place to find daily exclusives and offers with your favorite ESPN personalities and shows. Sign up today and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Find all of your favorite markets and bets like in-game wagering, cross-sport parlays, teasers, and all the props you can handle. That's ESPN Bet. Download today. What a play. Must be 21 plus and present within the state of New Jersey to participate. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. There it is. Yankee Stadium. Like, when you hear this, you should be in your seat. When you hear this, you should be, you should sit down. You should have your beer. You should have your food. You should be getting ready for the Yankees to run out on the field. Keith McPherson on the Fan. A couple minutes before the next break and update. Rolling right along here to the 10 o'clock hour. Then I'll have 2 hours left. A couple things I was looking at during the break. You know, the Mexico series coming up with the Yankees. I saw Brian Hoke put out that Juan Soto is scheduled to make the trip to Mexico. Jose Trevino, DJ LeMahieu, Giancarlo Stanton, who we were just speaking on. Alex Verdugo, who is Mexican, played for the Mexican team in the World Baseball Classic. Jonathan Loaiza, who, like, not for nothing. You guys saw the report with Jonathan Loaiza today before I continue on with my... So Brian Hoke also put out that the Yankees plan to use Jonathan Loaiza as a multi-inning reliever during the first half with 2 days of rest between outings. It's a good strategy to try and make sure that I stay healthy, Loaiza said. It's a benefit to me and a benefit for the team as a whole, I think. Yeah, we got to overthink these things now because Johnny Lowe has been hurt a ton. And now when you look at this bullpen, like I said, with Cole being hurt, the bullpen is affected. He's one of your better arms coming out of that bullpen. You can't afford to lose him after trading away Michael King, after not re-signing Wandy. There is a domino effect pending here. And we'll be here every night to talk about it. I will be making a trip back to Florida, as I was talking about my trip to Florida to see Giancarlo Stanton. Victor Gonzalez coming out of that bullpen. He's also going to be on the squad that's going to Mexico City. And, you know, I looked at going to Mexico City. I want to go to Mexico City. Never been. I've done the, you know, Cancun stuff. I wanted to go. I think we tried to get my baby's passport done. I don't know. I have to check with my wife and see if that happened in time. But we were looking at the connecting flights and or how you would fly from. It just was, it's too much to do with a baby. I am paranoid about this first trip with my son on the plane. I love him. I know he's going to be good. But, like, I just don't, you know, it's unknown. You don't know he's going to be good. Like, I know he's going to, I know I'm going to be good as far as taking care of him. My wife and I, we're going to be prepared. But I don't know what his reaction is going to be to taking off, to landing, to being around other people, to being in those confines. Like, I am just praying that it goes smoothly. And I'm not going to make him get on a plane from Florida to Mexico. It's just, we're going to miss out on that one. But you know, there's an effort to make baseball a global game. I was hoping that they would announce the Yankees playing in Paris. I thought they were saying that they were going to play in Paris in 2025. I remember a couple years ago seeing that. That never actually materialized. But coming up in less than a week, the Seoul series with the Dodgers and the Padres, that's coming up. My friend Serena's out there. I'm so jealous looking at her Instagram in Japan. Japan's somewhere I always wanted to go. I said I would go before I had a kid. I did not accomplish that. But, you know, that's going to be cool. That's going to be going on while I'm in spring training mode, while I'm down there in Tampa. I don't know. My son usually gets up around 6, 7, and if I get up with him on vacation, I'm going to get up and I'm going to watch Shohei Ohtani and Ha-Seong Kim and Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman. I don't know. I like baseball, so I'll tune in to watch. I remember a few years back, they did that opening series in Japan, I think with the Mariners, and baseball did a terrible job of advertising it, but they've done a good job advertising this. So I'm excited for baseball to start, you know. I like the whole global game stuff. I think it's great. The London series, I've campaigned for you guys as Mets fans. If you're even thinking, no matter what you think this team is going to be, no matter what you think the season's going to be like, that will be a great trip to go see the Mets take on the Phillies in London. I love that trip for Red Sox Yankees back in 2019. I proposed to my wife out there. We spent a week out there. I even slid over to Ireland. I can't wait to go back. If you get a chance, if you have the funds, the means to go see the Mets play in London, it is enchanting. It is like something that you just can't duplicate. So go if you can go. It's a once-in-a-lifetime thing, potentially. Like I said, I don't know when the Yankees are going back. I thought the Yankees were going to announce that they were playing in France. That's not going down. I think the Yankees are playing in that Little League Classic this year. I may try to go to that. I know I'm also trying to potentially go to the Rickwood Field game. That's going to be a Negro League-style Field of Dreams game that they're doing down there in Birmingham, Alabama, at the oldest Negro Leagues field. If you've been listening to me, you've probably heard the mayor of Patterson call in and talk about how they're trying to get a game like that at Hinchcliffe Stadium between the Mets and the Yankees. It'd be cool if that goes down. But, yeah, you know, even with the NFL playing in London, I've never gone to see the NFL in London. Jerry Jones is not into that, so the Cowboys have never got me to go out there. But I mean, they do great. The Jaguars are there all the time, and I mean, now they're going to play a game in Brazil. And an interesting thought I had about the whole NFL Brazil commercial that we saw during the Super Bowl: wasn't Saquon Barkley in that commercial? I'm pretty sure he was. Like, I think one of the kids was like looking at a poster of Saquon, and like Saquon came to life in a Giants jersey. And the Giants aren't playing out there. Or maybe that was the Africa commercial. But now Saquon is playing with the Eagles in Brazil. I don't know. And we're in a different world now. And all of this stuff, like, if you follow the NFL on Instagram, the NFL is doing these collab posts with the Eagles. I'm like, why the hell are the Eagles popping up on my Instagram? What is this? And it's a collab post with Saquon Barkley walking up to the Eagles facility, getting greeted by Brandon Graham. It was so cringy and so awkward. I think I saw WFAN reposted and I replied, cringe. We don't want to see this. We don't want to watch this. And then they do the intro press conference and he used a quote from Jalen Hurts. And Jalen Hurts is a quote machine. He's a meme machine in real life. He's like, yeah, you know, you got to keep the main thing the main thing. Yeah, the main thing is football. There's a bunch of other things going on before you get to the football, though. 877-337-6666. So, I mean, we've touched on a bunch tonight. Let's keep it rolling. I'll fire up a live on TikTok again. When we get to 11 o'clock, we'll do the Casamigos big shot of the night. I haven't really kept my eye too much on the hockey. I don't know. For some reason, I'm in here, you know, watching the Big East tournament. We need March Madness. But the Islanders are down 4-0. Let's see what the Rangers are doing. The Rangers are down 6-3. Look at my Devils go. I should get eyes on that Devils game. That's what I'm about to do now during the break. But call me up. We're still talking about Marcus Stroman, the opening day starter for the New York Yankees, what the Yankees are going to do, the impact of potentially losing Gerrit Cole. Trust me, the last 2 days I have spiraled into thinking about how many innings they have to replace, what this bullpen is like now, what these starters are like now, and it just the math ain't mathing for me. We can still talk about NFL free agency, what the Jets and Giants have done or need to do. We're getting closer and closer to the NFL draft, And whatever you guys want to do, you know, it's pretty much open. And 11 o'clock, I open it up for open mic. But I think we've touched on a lot, from Aaron Rodgers to Saquon Barkley to everything else. So let's continue on, man. Thanks for listening to my show. Hold through the break. I think Marco will come here and hit you with the update. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'll be right back.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.